This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, dude.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, doing pretty good. It's been a wild January here at the Country Squire, but man, thankful and a lot of good stuff going on. We're really excited about everything. So yeah, man, just rocking and rolling. It's kind of been a busy January, but then it has kind of turned into a slow couple of days, which is nice, just to catch my breath and enjoyed a couple bowls today of some tasty tobaccos. And nice. Yeah, man, it was just really nice. You know, sometimes you're thankful even as a retailer to have some of those slower days to just kind of catch your breath a little bit and, you know, enjoy the shop and, you know, fruits of your labor and some tasty, tasty pipe weed and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, man, what's going on with you?
Man, we're doing good here. These last 24 hours, I've been trying to take care of the Mrs. She really, really good news. She has got her second shot of the vaccine.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard, but the first shot's not too bad, but the second one is where, you know, your body goes into overdrive to build the antibodies and everything.
Yeah, a good friend of mine mentioned the exact same kind of phenomenon. The first one wasn't bad, but the second one kind of nailed him. So,
man, yeah, she was struggling last night, and it's one of those things where, you know, she's kind of acting director for her department right now. And, you know, she knows that, like, if she phones it in the next day, then she's setting a precedent for, like, all of her people. And so she's got to show up and, you know, like, be half dead, but still, be still working. But anyway, so she's, we're excited that she's got the vaccine, and I can sleep a little bit easier, but
yeah,
we're just trying to take care of her a little bit, over the next couple of days. But she was like, man, if, you know, like, obviously, we knew this was going to happen, so we were prepared for that. But it was one of those things where, like, man, if this is what it takes for your body to create the antibodies, like, what is actual COVID got to be like?
Yeah, it's just rough. I know. That's part of the issue. You know, it's one of the reasons that for several years, I have to admit, I haven't gotten the flu shot, because the last time I got the flu shot, it made me so sick. You know,
yeah.
I just, had felt really terrible. I was like, well, I'll just gamble and won't get I won't get the flu, which is probably a terrible idea. And we're not doctors and don't give medical advice.
Yeah, don't go based on
radio, but. but I understand, man. It's one of those things, can take a toll, but man, it's one of those, the medicine will be good and protect her from all the stuff going forward. So I'm just hopeful that we'll someday soon experience some sense of normalcy. I've had some pipe folks reach out and be like, man, when are y'all gonna start hosting events again? And we had talked about, last year we had the Lunt to Remember,
yes sir,
planned, and had to postpone that indefinitely. And of course, you've got industry, hobby wide events like the Chicago Pipe Show, which so far is a green light, but you never know. And then, of course, even our industry's trade organization, it was the IPCPR, announced the Premium Cigar Association, which they unfortunately took the name pipe out of the name, but we still are a part of that. And so they're planning on going full throttle this summer, but we don't know about that either, just with everything up in the air. So just a lot of unknown questions, but man, I can't wait to get these masks off and get to, smoking my pipes around large groups of people again.
yeah man hopefully it's hopefully we're past the halfway point, and I'm excited. Something else I'm excited about is I hear that things are shaking up at the Country Squire, man. You're doing a little upgrades to your humidor.
So this is fun, right? If you followed the show since the beginning, or at least for a long time, we moved, I guess it's been about 3 years ago now, Bo. Moved in, that would have been, 2018. Moved into a new space, and we're just thrilled with the larger size from our older shop, and miss our older shop and the quaintness of it and all that, but, we're happy to get the extra space. But man, to be honest with you, have just very quickly grown into it. And we are so thankful. Just, our shipping business has, blossomed, and our walk-in traffic has you know, has grown as well. And so just, you know, have the need for kind of a rearranged space and kind of some changes, you know, in how our shop is laid out and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, when you walk in the shop, you're not going to notice a big difference from you know, when you walk in. But if you go inside the cigar humidor, you're about to notice a big difference. We're actually going to expand it by about 50% into this backspace. And then we're going to reconfigure this backspace so that it's much more conducive to our shipping business. So we're kind of improving our shipping business. And so we can get pipe tobacco out quicker and more efficiently and carry more products and keep more in stock. And then we're also going to, you know, carry more of cigars just for our walk-in customers. So really excited about that, man. But it's, you know, it's just well, I mean, you know, you talked about renovations for you know, like 3.5 months on the show. It's one of those things, you know, you just you kind of dread a little bit. Just, I mean, we're excited obviously about the upgrades to our space and all that, but we feel like we kind of have to do it right now for a variety of reasons that I won't get into. The problem is it coincides with you know, the biggest holiday in the pipe smoking world, and that is International Pipe Smoking Day.
So
it's going to be a little painful because we are going to go through, you know, this transition during IPSD, which of course is February 20th, you know, every year. And so so we're going to, you know, try to, you know, juggle and, you know, keep all the plates spinning on different poles, as it were. But, you know, interested to see how it'll turn out. I'll probably be caffeinating a lot and, you know, and smoking, smoking a lot of tobacco to medicate the whole, insanity of it. But, yeah, man, excited about it. And I think, you know, long term, in the short term, it's going to be a big inconvenience, particularly with our shipping stuff. But, you know, long term, it'll really help us, you know, just continue to grow and serve our customers better. And one of the biggest complaints people have about our current, setup is that online on our Country Squire website, we don't have a lot of tins in stock. And we just can't, we don't have room to store them. It's hard to get inventory here. It's just the way we've got things configured. It's not very practical to keeping a lot of inventory on hand. And so this is going to hopefully, God willing, kind of help us move in that direction to carrying more more online product and just be more efficient, and then you know, and then selling more cigars. So it'll be nice, man. We're excited.
Yeah, man. When it's all said and done, I mean, renovation is rough, but it's always worth it at the end. But it is rough.
It is. You know, it's one of those things that you just kind of dread, you know, getting through. But you have to, you know, keep those images of the shiny new digs kind of out in front of you to keep you motivated. So anyway, we'll see. Hopefully it'll work out okay.
Well, look, I always love hearing about, you know, the opportunity for there to be new stock at the shop because, you know, it's great learning about different products. You know, there is something about walking into a pipe shop and seeing, you know, the traditional things you see, the pipes on the wall, the basket pipes, you got the high price pipes and the glass cases, you've got nice premium looking jars of hand blended pipe tobacco. If your particular tobacconist is able to do that, you know, obviously at the Country Squire, you've got the metal weighted, system thing that you use to weigh out the pipe tobacco.
That would be a scale. That is has a name. It's called a scale.
Okay. Yes. A scale. Of course. No. But this ancient scale that's there. You've got all the various memorabilia on the walls and that nice little mustiness that exists. The ashtrays, the pipe tamps. But you know, that is one of the things you expect when you walk into a pipe shop is to see a plethora of various pipe tobacco tins and of all kinds of shapes and sizes with various beautiful logos beckoning you over to take a look and see what is there for you to explore. Now, for the new pipe smoker, that can often be a bit of a daunting challenge. You don't quite know what to look for. And even for the more seasoned amongst us, you might see some old familiars, you might see some favorites, but every once in a while you might uncover something that you never really knew was there. And one of the things, man, I love about this show is the series that we have done since the earliest of days, our Tobacco Talks, where we take a look at reviewing various pipe tobaccos that people might find in their local tobacconist. And in many respects, this is like the bread and butter of what a pipe tobacco podcast should be, right? But we decided
That every week. Yeah.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like if we did it every week, we would have finished years ago. Hey, maybe we should have done that instead.
Our listeners are like, please.
Yeah. No, but we spread it out, man. We spread it out every 8 episodes or so and do a tobacco talk, Matt. And I know you were bringing it this week with some amazing 10 tobaccos for us to review and take a look at.
Yeah, you know, you kind of set the narrative well in a way that, you know, maybe we haven't really discussed on the show before. But, you know, any pipe shop worth its salt is going to have a, you know, at least a smattering of tins that will be around. And, you know, we hand blend our own tobaccos here at the Country Squire. But, you know, you mentioned it. We're proud of those tins, those shiny, you know, pretty tins with the beautiful labels that have, some of which are beautiful. A lot of them are actually very boring, but we rake them over the coals justly for that, particularly Bo and his kind of eye for that. But we're thankful for these shiny tins that pop out, and man, it's just so attractive. And it's one of those things, you know, they are expensive, at least compared to some other tobaccos. And so you know, you wonder what's behind every lid. It's like, man, I, you know, is it worth paying $15 to figure out if I like that particular tobacco or not? And so and there's so many of them out there, and we try to keep a nice rotation of them at the Squire. And so this is our essence, our chance to kind of talk about a few and let you know our thoughts, and maybe it'll encourage you to give them a try, and maybe you'll steer clear. I don't know, but here we go.
All right, man.
Talking about a couple good ones today, man, excited about this. One of them, the first one, we actually just got a shipment of this tobacco in, and really thrilled to have it. It's Samuel Gay with Fire Dance Flake.
Ew.
Samuel Gay with, you know, tobaccos, these are... they're just kind of hard to get nowadays. You know, when I started, in this industry years ago, we just didn't have this issue. Like, you could get Squadron Leader, you could get Fold of Virginia Flake, you could get, you know, Perfection and Grouse Moore and all these tobaccos. But, you know, just in the past, particularly the past probably 5 years, 6 years, they've just gotten to be really hard to get. I don't know if it's a supply chain thing, if it's American distributorship thing, if it's a, what they're doing at Samuel Gaywith and Gaywith and Hogarth over in the UK. I just don't know the genesis of it, but it's a very, they're just hard to get.
I mean, like, but just to clarify, I mean, you mean in America, like if you're in the UK, like one imagines it's still more readily available.
To be honest, Bo, I'm not sure. I haven't talked to many of our UK, you know, friends about that. So I don't know. I'd be interested in knowing.
Definitely.
You know, if we have any, you know, listeners that, you know, are from the UK that catch this show, give us some feedback on that. I mean, we'd love to, you know, hear more of that stuff. My sense is that it probably is more readily available over there, but which would make you think that it is more of a kind of a importing, distributing kind of issue compared to some other stuff. But regardless, Samuel Gay with tobaccos, obviously some of the most respected in the world and well known, but just over the past several years have been a little harder to get your hands on. So Fire Dance Flake, this is a fun tobacco. It's one of those that is not one of their best sellers, although all of them kind of fly off the shelf, but it's an interesting tobacco and one that we haven't talked about at all before in any sense. And so I thought we'd visit it. I just happen to have a tin I've been working my way through, and enjoyed it and thought we'd chat a little bit about it. This is a very high quality aromatic. The description as provided from Samuel Gaywith, it reads, developed with one of the USA's lady smokers. Fire Dance is our best brown flake, six inch flake, subtly flavored with a combination of blackberry, brandy, and vanilla. The smoke is mild, a mild, cool experience with the blackberry the predominant flavor, the brandy in the background, and rounded off with the vanilla, a mild and fruity smoke with the strength of best brown and a very pleasing room aroma. And that's from Samuel Gaywith. So, interesting description. My first reaction to this description is, who was the USA lady smoker they talked to?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know this person. Like, you know, developed with one of the USA lady smokers. Like, give us more information.
Yeah, who dat?
I actually tried to research this and find out what on earth they were talking about. Who? Like, we want to know. Like, we want this person on air, you know?
Yes. Let's get her on. That's crazy.
It was really funny. I just, you know, caught that and was like, man, I almost even left that part out of the description and talking about it because it was so vague and kind of weird and
mildly offensive.
Like, exactly. It's like, well, you know, we had to make at least one for the ladies, you know, and ladies night here at Samuel Gaywith. And of course we have fire dance. So,
you know, I didn't even like put that together. That's crazy.
Bizarre. Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's just kind of this funny thing they throw in there, and you wonder about the genesis of that. But so what they say right off the bat after they talk about the lady pipe smoker that they developed it with, that remains unknown, is that it's a subtly flavored version of their best brown flake. Hmm. And so, you know, when you see that, when you read that as a Samuel Gaywith fan, as a full-bodied Virginia smoker fan, a non-aromatic tobacco fan, someone that likes a natural flavor, you're kind of like, wow. Like that, I mean, that they're taking one of the best non-aromatic Virginias on the market and they're making an aromatic out of it. And you're like, well, I wonder how that's going to go. interesting, I'm going to read the description now of Best Brown Flake, which they've used as the base for this tobacco. Best Brown Flake from Samuel Gaywith, a firm favorite for the pipe smoker looking for a medium strength, gentle, and slow burning tobacco, manufactured using hand stripped, flu cured Virginias with no added flavors. Best Brown will reward with a cool, sweet smoke and a delectable aroma and good side stream, mild to medium. I don't know what the side stream is. I've never heard that phrase in the tobacco world, but that's from Tobacco Reviews. You know, so they've taken this tobacco. It's a beautiful Virginia tobacco that has just a nice warm color to it. The moisture content that you expect from Samuel Gaywith, which is pretty moist. And they've taken that and made an aromatic out of it. And so we've got this. They bill as kind of a fruity liqueur, liquor vanilla kind of flavor to it. Very interesting. So when you open the tin, it's got this kind of actually. Do you want to describe the kind of the tin art that you see there, Bo?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, one of the things about Samuel Gaywith is you constantly see that, that rectangular shape. I think these days many of us kind of associate, you know, pipe tobacco with the round tin shape. I think that's, the more of the modern kind of iconic look. But this has got the kind of the classic rectangle. You've got the flames are dancing. The fire is dancing right there. with kind of the hot tinges of orange, yellow, red. To be honest, based on the description, it's an odd way of presenting it. You almost kind of wonder, why is this considered fire dance? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know where the name comes from. I really don't. It's fascinating because it doesn't, to me, evoke anything of the flavor of the tobacco.
It's got to be the lady fire or the lady pipe smoker who was a fire dancer.
And I do love this. It says, quote, on the tin cover, it says, quote, none but the piper keeps up with the dancer.
See, there's a story here, man.
What?
There is some kind of like crazy fly by night love story that went on. Like, I remember back in the day when we lived in Memphis, there was this restaurant that we used to go to. And there was this like fire, I don't know what the right terminology is, but like out in front of it, there was like a fire belly dancer type situation. And
you happened to go there every night, didn't you, Bo?
No, we didn't go there every night, but like, no, like it was very cool. My wife and I went and like they would practice, like basically wherever they actually did their thing, they would always practice in front of this, this restaurant out on their back patio. And she had these like, I don't know exactly what to call it other than like these little... like chains with like this lantern looking container that was essentially like a fireball. And she would,
I'm tracking. Go ahead.
It's nothing
I'm
inappropriate.
No,
absolutely nothing inappropriate. And it was kind of this thing where, you know, she would kind of swing it around. It was almost like this wheel of fire type situation.
Yeah.
While also kind of doing this, you know, very like artistic belly dance type of motion. And it was interesting. Like, I don't know exactly how to say it other than it was just very interesting. But also, you know, as someone who does not want to be caught on fire, I also found it a little like panic inducing. Like, fire was going. So I'm wondering, I don't know what the terminology is for that form of dance though. Like, I don't know if that's called fire dance or belly dance or some sort of like blending of the two.
Yeah.
But now in my mind, this pipe smoking fire slash belly dancer has fallen in love with Samuel Gay with himself or the reincarnation thereof, and together has created this this very strange.
And every time every time you see this tobacco scent, you will think your mind will go back to those interesting nights out in front of the place there in Memphis.
Yeah. So, I wish I could. It was like a diner slash like, I don't know, barbecue Korean type of place. I can't remember what it was, but it was interesting. It was very interesting. The food was good. It shut down, but it was, we liked it.
Man, you know, something is certainly interesting. I mean, it's got a kind of a funny thing. Don't, again, have no clue where fire dance comes from. The quote, none but the piper keeps up with the dancer. Mm-hmm. You know, just would love to know more about that. But anyway, this is something great for the non-aromatic smoker, as you can imagine, because, you know, we've started out with, as a base, with a very, very high quality, Virginia leaf. And so, you know, this flue cured leaf from Samuel Gaywith, it's some of the best selling tobaccos out there, but also that they particularly make. You know, you've got Samuel Gaywith, the best brown flake, whenever we have it in stock, it's one of the very first ones that flies off the shelf. It's right up there. You've got that one, full Virginia flake, squadron leader. They're always, you know, once you get them, they're gone kind of thing. It's just that popular. And so, you know, you can imagine Samuel Gaywith's like, well, let's use this as a base. Let's throw a bone to, you know, folks and you know, make an interesting aromatic tobacco that uses that as kind of a background, a backdrop. And so, you know, it's great. This is a good tobacco for non-aromatic smokers that may be interested in a little treat, but still want to taste very high quality tobacco. And so it's a sweet tin note. You've got, as you open the tin, you know, you've got a very nice sweetness that's there. It's not particularly perfumey. It just has a nice kind of, you know, sweetness. You taste or smell some, a little bit of berry that's in there and just kind of leaves you wondering, you know, that there's a sugariness there that it leaves you wanting to explore with your pipe. And so it's a moist tobacco. A lot of Samuel Gaywith flakes, of course, are going to come out of the tin a little moist. And so, you know, typically I recommend you take these, kind of tear the amount apart that you're ready to put into your pipe and let it sit there for, you know, maybe a couple minutes before you load your pipe up. And, you know, it adds to the ritual, but also I think will help with, you know, making this particular tobacco enjoyable. So let it dry for a little while. Packs great right out of the tin, you know, and lights with relative ease. This is one of those tobaccos that, you know, the false light part of the process, that initial charring light, or even two, maybe a couple of false lights, is going to be really key to enjoying this particular tobacco. You know, you want to build a really nice base to get this flake tobacco going. And with the moisture content, that initial charring light's always very helpful for me. So, so take your time with this. Don't overdo it. You know, sip this tobacco. We folks already, occasionally have issues getting those flake tobaccos, you know, kind of lit, and Virginia tobaccos too. We think about the tongue bite and all that comes with it. And so we've got flake, we've got Virginia, and now we're adding on top of that aromatic. You're like thinking to yourself, man, this one is going to scorch my tongue. And so, you know, you just want to take your time with this particular one and, you know, char the top a little bit, let it go out, tamp it slowly, char it again, tamp it again, and then, you know, take your time before you really puff it hard to get that flame nice and deep into the bowl. So as you get it lit, a very, you know, a very simple sweetness. It's a tart sweetness there. You get kind of that rock candy sugar flavor that's really, you know, nice. It's just kind of a simple, straightforward sweetness. But the tartness there from the berry, I think, is something that is more, you know, accessible there on the front end. It's subtle, you know, obviously compared to a lot of other aromatics. Samuel Gaywith, they have put a lot of thought into how they've done this. But you know, and so it's sophisticated, but subtle. And once you get into the bowl, you really do taste more of the berry flavor that's there. The brandy comes out a little bit. You get kind of the heat, the nice sting of a nice, you know, relatively high proof alcohol that comes in there. And so it's just kind of a nice, you know, a nice mulled wine or dark fruit flavor that kind of comes in from the back to back up this blackberry flavor. It bills itself as also having vanilla. To be honest, I didn't really catch a lot of the vanilla. It's probably in there somewhere. But, you know, just a very a fun tobacco. I think the thing I love about it is that you continue to taste the Virginias throughout the tin, throughout the bowl. And so, you know, while you're smoking the tobacco, you're enjoying the sweet kisses of these aromatic notes, you know, that are there. But but you're still enjoying extremely high quality, you know, flue cured Virginias. You know, it just makes it that much more enjoyable. It really is something as a treat for the non-aromatic smoker. We all just want to mix it up a little bit. I mean, let's be honest. We all occasionally like a piece of cake. And so, man, this is one of those tobaccos that, you know, I think you'll enjoy. You know, if you're looking for a syrupy, sweet aromatic, this is not going to be it for you. You know, so don't go into this experience, you know, kind of hunting that. And for the, you know, Virginia smoker that's looking for very clean, either, you know, bready flavored Virginias or citrusy flavored Virginias, you know, you're not going to get as much of that either. The breadiness does come in there a little bit. And so you do taste those flavors, the natural sugars of the Virginia. But then, you know, the main star here is the, you know, the topping or the, you know, the casing on this particular tobacco. And so, you know, I think though the blackberry and then the liquor element is well done. And so you're not, you know, just you feeling like you're drinking a, you know, a Slurpee at the beach or something. So anyway, good tobacco. I really enjoyed it. And one thing I have to say, and I always pick on Samuel Gaywith for this, but there, you know, I don't have an issue necessarily with square or rectangular tins, but something about their tinning process, something about them, it makes their cans pop open so much easier than most tins, and even most square and rectangular tin tobaccos, because square and rectangular tins do pop open easier than round tins. But theirs in particular, something about how Sam Gaywith, their machine they're using, or something, they just pop open really easily. And so, you know, if you get your hands on one of these, check it, you know, just gently pull on the lid to make sure it's not open before you purchase it or whatever. And they're just really bad about popping open.
And it's the shape. It's not Sam Gaywith. I mean, it's the shape, right?
Well, the rectangular tins, they are more prone, but particularly the ones that come from their factory. And I don't know if it's something that's coming off of their, you know, machines or something. I'd love to, if someone had some insight into that, but for whatever reason, we see a lot of these, that pop open. And so just, you know, be careful if you do get this, tobacco or any other Samuel Gaywith tobacco. I would highly recommend that as soon as you get the new tin, take the contents out and put it in a jar. That way you won't be really disappointed 2 years down the road when you go over to it, and pop it open and then realize it's already popped open and bone dry, and it had been, you know, maybe got some weevils growing in it or something.
Come on now. Nobody wants that.
No weevils in the pipe world.
No weevils in the pipe world. All right, man, what else you got?
Man, moving on. Ashton, smooth sailing today. I want to talk about another aromatic, something that's more of a traditional aromatic, something that where the main character is decidedly the flavor of the you know, the topping that's on the tobacco. Ashton tobaccos, these tobaccos are really great. Now, this is not Ashton the pipe making company. This is Ashton the cigar company that has a whole line of tobaccos that are branded for them. They're made by Kohlhaas in Germany, which we love and talk about quite a bit on the show. Love this, you know, blending house and what they do, how they process their stuff, and just, you know, they've got some real hits that come out of there. And so, you know, love what they do. But very, you know, good tobaccos that are labeled under that Ashton name. Their more popular one, the most popular one of theirs, is the Artisan Blend. It's very popular. It's got a, you know, it's a full English, and we sell quite a bit of it, you know, here at the shop. But the one we're talking about today, Smooth Sailing, this is an aromatic from Ashton, and it comes in a beautiful, handsome round tin. I love the very, you know, kind of bright, you know, bird egg blue that you see there. Do you have a, can you kind of describe that, Bo?
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful tin. It's very, very calming, as you would expect being on a sailboat. It's got kind of the clouds in the background. Of course, you've got the Ashton kind of wreath with the crown on top, kind of the gold. But yeah, a very light blue. You know, it's the funniest thing. Like you mentioned, I remember when you mentioned that we were going to be talking about this one, I went kind of like, because I always love like the concept of sailing. I don't know how to sail, but I always love like the concept of it. And it's so interesting to me because we've talked about this before, but there is the there's this imagery that surrounds the concept of sailing and pipe tobacco. We've talked about it in our Pipes and Pirates series. We've also talked about the pipe smoking sailor as an archetype of kind of pipe smokers. But you know, it's also got to be insanely challenging to like manage the ropes and the sails and try to keep your pipe lit, right?
I know, right? Yep, exactly.
Smooth sailing perhaps is trying to offer up an idea of smooth sailing while enjoying this delicious pipe tobacco, even though it might not actually be smooth sailing in practice.
Right. It may be extremely difficult. And, you know, if you haven't a hard enough time smoking your pipe on the beach, imagine, you know, while you're commandeering your sailboat. Yeah, I don't know. But man, just a beautiful tin, very elegant how Ashton does. Of course, Ashton, their cigars they make are, very, you know, high top shelf. I mean, they're, you know, expensive and well made with the Fuente Company. And of course, just, very good quality. And you would expect the same of their tinned pipe tobaccos. And so you open the tin, and it is the round vacuum seal tin, the coin style tin that we talk about. And it's a quite moist tobacco. It really is. It has one of these Elizabethan collars that you open up, and the tobacco in there is pretty moist. And sometimes with these aromatic tin tobaccos, you get kind of a dryness in there. But this one has a nice moisture to it. It's something that seems like it would stay fresh for a while. The leaves, this is a ribbon cut tobacco, and the ribbons tend to be pretty, pretty evenly chopped or, you know, sliced. They're very, it seemed to be pretty uniform. You've got kind of a nut brown khaki colored ribbon, with some darker black, leaf in there that I'm assuming is some type of Cavendish or maybe some flavored burley. And, it just seems to be, a nice, melange of tobacco that, that tends to, be satisfying to, someone that's loading up their pipe. But, the tin note from this, you immediately get coconut. I smell coconut when I smell this particular tin. They describe it as again pleasantly palatable and wonderfully smooth. This aromatic mixture is slightly nutty, boasting flavors of maple, coconut, and dark chocolate. Now that's coming from Ashton. When I open this tin, I think, wow, that's an almond joy.
Ooh,
like
okay.
I get that. I really do. It's got this this chocolatey rich flavor to it. I don't get as much dark chocolate. It's more of a milk chocolate flavor with these nutty notes, but then you've got this coconut that's just very present, and it's fun. It makes you the smell of the aroma of the tin makes you really excited about trying this tobacco. So yeah, nice moisture to it. I let it dry out just a little bit before I loaded my pipe, and it's a sweet light tobacco. It's one of those that it is highly aromatic, but it is kind of a light tobacco. It's relatively bitey. You know, you will get just a nice sweet heat from this. There is a kind of a cocoa flavor. You'll get some of those coconut notes that are there. I kind of struggled in trying to think of other tobaccos this reminded me of, maybe a toned down Molto Dolce or something like that. But, you know, this has a just a nice general sweetness to it. It is kind of a nutty flavor, and you do get some of that coconut and the chocolatey notes that are there. I didn't really get much alcohol, any kind of, you know, they bill it also as having kind of an alcohol topping on there, and I didn't really get much of that. I will say it is a little bitey. This is a tobacco that you'll want to sip. Take your time getting it lit. You know, the whatever, you know, they've done here, the flavor profile, you'll want to just kind of slow your process down a little bit, you know, while you're getting it lit. Overall, for an aromatic tobacco, it's pretty pleasant. It's going to, you know, kind of scratch that itch if you have kind of a candy bar, you know, desire in smoking something that's kind of confectionary, you know, in your tobaccos. But it's not a syrupy sweet tobacco. This is not one of those where, you know, you're going to, you know, get a wet stickiness to it. I will say you want to put this in an aromatic pipe. This is a tobacco that you're not going to want to, you know, if you've got a pipe that occasionally you smoke aromatics out of, but more often than not, you smoke Englishes or, you know, Virginias or something of that nature. You don't want to put this in that pipe. This is for an aromatic pipe, great for a corn cob, which we'll talk about shortly, or a clay pipe. But certainly for an aromatic pipe, this is going to leave a little residual flavor in your pipe. But if you like Almond Joys like I do, then you may also enjoy this tin.
Well, there you go. It's interesting. I don't dislike candy bars. I happen to be a fan, but coconut is actually like the one flavor. Like I love coconut rum, but if it ain't in rum, I generally don't like it. And it's always unfortunate because it is like a flavor profile that's also like, you know, often kind of associated with like summer or spring or you know, going out to the beach or going out on the waves or something of that nature. And if you had said like it was more of like a coconut rum, I'd be down. But Almond Joy is like a no, run away.
I will say there are some chocolate blends that are very like blunt out there. Like you know, one of them actually, we make one here at the shop and are proud of it. It's Tabac du Chocolat, and it's very much a milk chocolate blend. It's very ham-fisted in its way. Like, I mean, if you want chocolate in your tobacco, this is the one for you. And so, there's a place and a time for that. And we smoke it and love it. But this one is not going to be one of those like over the top chocolate in your face. You do get the cocoa that's there. I do think it's more of a milk chocolate than a dark chocolate. But at the same time, I think the coconut and just kind of the natural the semi-sweetness of the tobacco is going to be more prevalent there than the chocolate flavor. Anyway, that's my take.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, good deal. Well, I think we've got a lot of flavor. Man, you got a lot of flavors this particular tobacco talk.
I know, man. I'm hoping, for folks that are non-aromatic smokers, check into the Samuel Gaywith Fire Dance Flake if you can get your hands on a tin of it. We'd be something worth trying out. And we'd love to hear what you think.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the great thing is whenever you're trying a brand new tobacco, you want to make sure you're doing so with and getting all of those various flavor profiles that John David has mentioned, and maybe even more. Perhaps your palate is even better than the master's, but the only way to know is with a good quality smoke from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
It wouldn't be hard to be better than mine, but man, we love the pipes from Missouri Meerschaum, and of course, that's why we talk about them every single week. This week, we're talking about the Cole Younger Corncob Pipe. It's the flagship pipe of their Outlaw series, and it is just a really cool concept that they've pioneered here. It's a fun combination with Crow Valley Pipe Company that they've done. Cole Younger Corncob Pipe, it's got this kind of stovetop top that's reminiscent of a stagecoach and features a wide nickel band and, of course, a very comfortable black stem that thins out right as hits the button. So it's really, really nice and thin towards your teeth. But just a very handy size pipe, and it's got kind of the fun little Outlaw logo there on the side, which gives it a little edge. But a great tasting pipe, a good travel pipe, something that you can poke in your pocket and pull out when you need a quick smoke or to enjoy an afternoon with some friends. So check it out. You can get it from the source at corncobpipe.com. Retails for $16.99 on their website, and we hope you check it out.
Hey, and if you've got one, be sure to smoke it this week to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week coming in from Donovan T. Embry. And here is what Donovan had to say. Donovan's just a cool name. I just want to acknowledge that.
I know, right?
That's just such a cool name. He says, hey guys, I was listening to your episode on the different tobacco leaves and the process between tobacco and cigar and pipes. It was great. It was a great episode and had a lot of good information. And it piqued my interest about a particular flavor that is prominent within whiskey, particularly Scotch whiskey. A lot of Scotch has what is called a peaty flavor or smell. You mentioned Perique has a peat flavor, but I was interested to know if you have ever heard of a condiment tobacco that goes through the process like Latakia, mostly that is hungover smoldering peat to impart that flavor. I've not seen anything like this, but in my brain, at least it sounds like an interesting idea to have that flavor profile included with tobacco, especially on the days where you don't particularly want to drink Scotch and smoke your pipe at the same time. Thanks again for all that you do, Donovan. Or thanks again for all that you do. And again, that is from Donovan T. Embry.
Yeah, man, thank you for reaching out, Donovan. I appreciate this. And this is a excellent question for someone that's, you know, gotten into the leaf and done some homework on your own right. So, you know, we may have mentioned before that Perique has some of that peaty flavor. You know, typically, I really more associate Latakia with the peatiness of a Scotch whiskey. You know, Latakia has that smoldery, soily, burnt flavor that you just kind of associate with a nice, you know, Islay or Highland whiskey that's got that, you know, that soily, peaty toastiness to it. There's a burnt campfire flavor that's kind of running in the background. And so I do consider Latakia to be, you know, the element in the pipe world that has that that peat flavor probably most prominently. You know, there is nothing on the market I know of that kind of, you know, tries to very deliberately infuse that, you know, from a Scotch, you know, from a Scotland peat soil standpoint. I'm not familiar with that. But another tobacco that some people get this flavor from as well, though, is Darkfire Kentucky. You know, we've got a leaf here that is a burly strain, and you know, undergoes a similar process to some degree, and so it also has that smokiness that's there. It's more of a woody smokiness than a soily, earthy one. I don't know. It's hard to explain, perhaps, but if you've ever smoked a tobacco that's forward on the Darkfire Kentucky, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. It has that that earthy, or you know, more of a woody smokiness to it that's just very pleasant and very high nicotine too. So you might check that out. But yeah, I'm not really sure of anything other than, you know, you might find some tobaccos that you know, are flavored with Scotch whiskey or something of that nature. I think Peter Stokeby might make a Scotch whiskey flavored tobacco, but you know, as far as something that's hung over smoldering peat, I'm not familiar with that. I don't think there's anything like that on the market. But anyway, great question, man, and neat to see you kind of pulling those parallels out of you know, where the flavors are coming from and identifying those with pipe leaves. That's great.
Yeah, now I want a good peaty Scotch.
I know, me too, right?
Pour myself one afterwards. All right, man. Well, hey, Donovan, great question. If you've got another pipe question of the week for us, be sure to send it into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire question. All right, man. It's quick fire with the Squire. All right. Pastor Nathan sent this in to us. He says, okay, guys, I'm going to give it a shot, pun intended. Now, this is interesting. Now, longtime listeners know you are not a movie guy for the most part. However, they may be surprised to know that you are something of a video game guy, at least back in the day.
Well, yeah, I was about to say not anytime recently, but yeah, definitely in definitely back in the day.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think most of these qualify as more back of the day. I think. I don't know. We're about to find out. So these are, okay, this is good. Video game edition. All right, you ready?
Yeah. Oh yeah, man, I'm excited. This is fun.
All right, Mario side-scrolling or Mario in 3D?
Oh, side-scrolling for sure.
Yeah, classic.
You know, for whatever reason, I never got into the Mario games once they kind of got into the, you know, first person kind of deal. I just never took to them. But the side scrolling, like original, you know, NES games, like, man, those are, you know, 10 times out of 10. That's what I want.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's a classic right there. And then, like, yeah, I'm the exact same way. I remember, I can't remember what the first, like, Mario game that I saw that I was like, he was moving around in 3D. Maybe it's like, I don't know, he had like a water jetpack, something or another, but I was just so weirded out, but I was like, no, Mario goes this way or this way. He cannot go in every other way. This is not the way that God intended Mario to move. This is wrong. Right? So I'm a side scroller as well.
That's funny.
All right. Zelda Link to the Past or Breath of the Wild?
You know, I have to admit, I'm actually not familiar with either of these titles. So, the first Zelda game I ever played was actually on the Wii.
Oh.
And I can't remember the name of that game that came out. I'm sure, anyone could call it out. But I just didn't play a lot of Zelda in my early video game years.
Yeah. No, I was the same. The only Zelda game I've ever played, I believe, was Breath of the Wild, which I think was the first one that came out with the Switch. And if that's what I'm thinking of, is a beautiful game. It's a great game. So I'm definitely going to choose that one. So there you go. All right. Warcraft or StarCraft?
StarCraft. I'm more of a space guy anyway, I would think. But I never got into Warcraft. I do like StarCraft. I played that a long time ago.
Over the years, I've gone back and forth on Warcraft. Like I've definitely dabbled, but it is... It's like an easy game to like play, but a hard game to master. And it's just one of those things where like, I remember like it was starting to become like a job. You had to like craft some stuff up and do this and that. I'm like, I'm here to have fun.
Out.
Yeah. Let me slay the dragon. I'm down. But like, I don't want to do math. Like, don't make me do math. StarCraft, on the other hand, is a blast. I love that kind of like, war simulation type of, resource management type game is a lot of fun. So yeah, StarCraft as well.
Yeah.
SimCity or Civilizations?
I'm assuming when he says Civilizations, he's talking about like Sid Meier's Civilization.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with that. I love those games, man. They were just so much fun. Like, you're simulating the building of an empire and
cool.
All this kind of stuff. That was a blast. And I like SimCity too. I played a lot of that. But this is probably the one I would have the most trouble picking between.
Hmm.
But I'm going to go Civilization by here.
Okay, it sounds like Civilizations is similar to StarCraft in that way, in which case I'll go with Civilizations. All right, and then finally, GoldenEye or Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, well, GoldenEye hands down. You could put GoldenEye up against basically everything, but I've never played Assassin's Creed, heard nothing but great things about it, but those kind of came out a little, after I guess I got into the whole, or, after I left the video game world. So, but man, GoldenEye, I just have so many fond memories of that game. And it was, the first game that probably, got me in trouble with, not getting my homework done.
Right.
And that kind
right.
of thing. So yeah, I'd have to go with that.
Yeah. GoldenEye was really the Halo of its day. And then Halo was the Fortnite of its day. And I don't know what the Fortnite is of its day. Cause I can't keep up, but regardless,
Fortnite is. So yeah, there you go.
many youth group, like pizza hangout nights over GoldenEye. Like I remember that as a kid, like, there'd be like a hangout at somebody's house and like the youth leader, like basically all it was is like the youth leader wanted to play GoldenEye and like went to whichever kid, like the rich kid in the youth group, like we always went to their house and played GoldenEye.
Rich kid, right.
and ate pizza.
Yep. I probably said some of my first curse words actually while playing GoldenEye. So that would make, you bring back all kinds of interesting memories.
All kinds of memories. I will say that Assassin's Creed, like, I wish I could say Assassin's Creed. I like the concept of Assassin's Creed. I've played, Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which is a fantastic pirate game. Until the Assassin's Creed stuff like interrupts it. And I'm like, go away, Assassin's Creed. Let me play the pirate part. So I kind of feel like Assassin's Creed, the problem with that franchise is it needs to get out of its own way. But that's just me. I'm sure there's a lot of different thoughts on that. Great questions, Pastor Nathan. Thanks so much for the nostalgia kick with these. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions, be sure to send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts? Your comments. Listener feedback.
listener feedback. All right, first one's coming in from Jim Nelson. Man, we are about to get called out.
Well, we deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, like, we need to get called out from time to time. This is about the Chacombe, the Gaelic rooster, I believe.
Yeah, he says Gaelic rooster? Yeah, the
Gaelic
rooster. He says, you want me to read this or you want to?
This is where you put some garlic on it, right? You're making some spaghetti.
Yeah.
Go for
the
it.
Gaelic rooster is the informal equivalent to the American eagle. The national soccer and rugby team mascots and rooster are roosters, and the rugby team is often called the rugby roosters. Come on, man. If you're real hipsters instead of hipster posers, you would know that the soccer and rugby connection instinctually. So it makes sense for Chacombe that they would use the include the rooster as part of their identity. And that's from our friend Jim Nelson. And I'm proud to be a hipster poser instead of a real hipster.
Man, we got full on called out. He called out our hipster cred.
I know, right?
We got caught out by the pipe community when we tried to do a hipster episode. And then we can call out for a hipster cred.
Come on, Jim. Win either way, man. You're just coming and going, losing.
Absolutely crazy. Great. No, thank you for that. That is extremely helpful.
Good. I'm glad to have that context.
All right, man, this next one comes in from Tom Hodgson. What did Tom have to say?
He says, I know this may seem like a random message, but I felt compelled to write you guys a note. Several years ago, I inherited some pipes from my father-in-law, who was from England, and traveled for his job throughout the world. He picked up a few pipes along the way, and after his death several years ago, I became the new owner. The problem was I wasn't a pipe smoker and didn't really know what to do with them. I was brought up in a strict Baptist home, so no one I knew was a pipe smoker. I took those pipes to a local pipe shop and had them cleaned. I asked the guys about pipe smoking, and they suggested I grab a corncob pipe and practice. So I did. At that time, I felt like I was learning alone and even viewed the pipe world as something that was personal, but I've recently discovered that it's more of a community. I've purchased a few pipes, joined a few Facebook groups, and have added several blends to my growing cellar. Little did I know that this newfound community was something I needed. You see, I've been a pastor, don't tell anyone, most in the church don't even know I've taken up the pipe, for over 20 years, and this pandemic has really kicked me in the backside. It's been hard to hold together our church family, because especially considering the divide that is currently happening in our world. I'm naturally a peacemaker, so the animosity that exists is hard for me to watch. I needed some outlets, and the pipe world has become one in my life. I recently found your podcast and began listening. Last Monday, I spontaneously jumped into the car and drove 2 hours to Columbus, Ohio. I just needed a break and visited some pipe shops there. I had several episodes of your podcast loaded on my phone, 6 hours worth. Man, that is just self-mutilation.
There's a lot of Bo and JD.
As I drove and listened, I felt like you guys were talking and investing in me. For a few hours, I was able to just listen and learn about something that's new to me. One of the episodes I listened to was Ties That Bind, a chat about the pipe smoking community from August 1st, 2018. It really resonated with me that this isn't something to be enjoyed alone, but in a community. As a pastor, this made me this made complete sense to me. In that episode, I heard the heart behind why you do what you do. It was inspiring. I say this all to let you guys know that I appreciate what you're doing. To me, it isn't just about the pipe, but about life and providing an avenue for me and others to discover some pleasure in the midst of trying to lead a church. Keep up the great work, and know that what you do goes far beyond your shop in Mississippi. At some point, I would love to make the journey and visit your shop, but for now, I ordered several blends from the Country Squire and am enjoying experiencing what you've created there and the legacy you carry on. And man, that is from a very generous and very kind Tom.
Pastor Tom, the right reverend. Man, what an amazing email. Yeah.
Good words about what the pipe's done for you and how it's kind of ministered to your heart during this time. And then, man, we're glad we can just be a small part of that. So that's great.
Absolutely, man. And I mean, like, you know, I would just, you know, I get it. I get the, especially with, you know, coming from a Baptist context, wanting to kind of, you know, don't tell anyone, kind of ingest, you know, with that. But I mean, like, you know, you walk into the Country Squire, you've got folks from all various walks of life, all various perspectives sitting down and smoking pipes with one another. And that's not to say that sometimes conversations don't get heated, But at the same time, like there is a common understanding and respect that the pipe forces upon you because you got to shut up and take care of your pipe for a minute. You know what I mean? Like there is a conversational tool that we have been gifted from generations past, and it is called the pipe. And so, like, use it. You know what? If you're having some trouble in your church and everything, like, you speaking to me, brother. I understand. But what I'm saying is that, like, you know, maybe bust out a couple of pipes. I don't know. I'm not saying the pipe's going to fix it. I'm just saying it'll cause people to kind of shut up and listen. And, you know, there's something to being able to shut up and listen. And this is coming from somebody who talks for a listening who needs to shut up and listen from time to time.
That's awesome. Man, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, thanks so much for that email. And just sharing that kind of a personal story. We're glad to be walking along with many of y'all, this, especially just the last past year in the midst of pandemic and everything else. Who would have known? Nobody. I mean, I was talking to my wife the other night, but we were talking about, goodness, I don't know. We're just having memories from college and everything and thinking about, like, if we could go back and, you know, tell ourselves about, you know, like, just life and children and like all the things that, you know, had we known then, like, you know, just this beautiful, and not in a bad way, and like a beautiful picture of, like, you know, what our marriage is and what our life is. And it was one of those things, like, you know, and then we'd have to tell them about the sci-fi pandemic that we're all living through. It's like, oh yeah, because that life is so weird. Like, we sound like the kind of people that would come back
to tell ourselves about, like, okay, so in 2020, buy lots of toilet paper stock, right?
Right. It gets crazy. The stuff hits the fan. Listen, look, we are so thankful that all of y'all are joining us for this episode and every single week here at Country Squire Radio. We want to encourage y'all to keep up with us. This is where things are about to get weird, man, because I'm doing the whole social media thing, as I mentioned last
week. That's
right.
I'm doing
a 1 year purge of social media, but you can follow the show, where I will definitely be, at Squire Radio, or you can follow John David at John David Cole. Of course, the shop's handle is at _ the Country Squire, but all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. How'd I do, buddy?
We're getting a little closer. We're getting closer. But yeah, it'll take a few weeks. We'll hammer it out.
I tell you what, man, I always love hammering out some of these tobacco talks with you. It is a pillar of the show, and also just, you know, a chance for all of us to really appreciate the extreme palatability of your palate.
Oh man, talk about a stretch.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's what I do. Hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.